meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Oh man, I am wearing what must be $500 headphones.
Oh really?
Or as we call them in the business, cans.
I've never seen it like. It looked like something that came off like an astronaut.
Yeah, definitely something out of a space age movie, some sort of futuristic movie.
No, Apollo 13. It looks like sort of.
There's titanium in them. They're heavy.
Yeah.
They're nice.
Strikers.
Yeah, he's the local DJ out here at the Mother Station, by the way, which is K Rock. All right.
Give me a go no go for launch. Booster, go. Retro, go, vital.
All right, so here's what's going to happen tonight. Joel from Good Charlotte was maybe going to come in, but we weren't sure. We left it loose with him. So if he comes in, he comes in. Tomorrow night, Macy Gray in here, who I've never met, and whose work I admire. And actually, Macy Gray was one of the funnier parts of the AMAs that Jimmy hosted a week or two ago.
What'd she do?
She just went up there and she sort of got off the teleprompter and put a little energy into it and started saying, look, if you guys lose and you're pissed off, let's see it on your face instead of seeing you cheering for people. And it was really...
She said she's pissed off that she didn't get nominated.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It was funny. Yeah. It didn't feel contrived. It felt sort of genuine and spontaneous.
She was up there with Mark.
Oh, yeah, from Blink. Yeah, from Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
Right. Kathy Griffin, dear friend Kathy Griffin is going to be in here. Then dear friend Tori Amos on Wednesday. And then Thursday, dear friend David Alan Greer, or DAG as I call him.
Mm-hmm. I've heard you call him that.
All right.
He's taking over that Bunny Hunt show.
There he is.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the man has talent. Why shouldn't he? Are you ready to move forward here, Drew?
Yeah. If you want to start with that one, not the one I had it on.
You had it like this, Drew, which is...
Either one's good.
You're straddling both calls.
Both good. Both good. Couldn't decide.
All right. Heather?
Yes.
You're 24. What's up?
Yes. I love you guys. I'm so excited that I'm on.
Thanks.
Reason that I'm calling is I saw Dr. Drew the other night on MSNBC on Scarborough Country, and he was talking about Michael Jackson. Yeah. By the way, Drew, you looked so hot. Seriously. Anyway, the reason I was calling was he was talking about Michael Jackson being a pedophile, child molester. I'm wondering if
I was saying maybe they keep putting me on the spot and saying, is he or isn't he? What makes one? What's your question?
Well, he loves
all the children of the world, regardless of creed or color or nationality or religion, as long as they're dudes. I mean, isn't it clear?
Yes.
That's all he wants.
Clear.
He wants to save every children.
He
all children. They're
save.
All precious. All the guys.
He just wants to save every 10-year-old boy. That's all.
Solid. He's not... Yeah, he seems to have a range. They seem to be between 7 and 11. They seem to be male, or they're always male, and they seem to be of some sort of ethnicity, maybe a Latino or something like that. And I got a theory about that.
What?
Well, it's... In that culture, that kind of stuff flies a little more easily. Like, you couldn't do that to a Jewish kid. Wouldn't work. His parents would be all over you. Let's face it. This goes on in that culture much more readily than it is.
Anybody
Latino.
Latino.
Oh, yeah.
What does offering your kids up for? Oh, I see.
There's much more of that going on.
There is a lot of it in Mexico in certain populations.
Yeah, look, we can't judge. We cannot judge. You want to F your kids? That's a cultural thing. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, if you're going to screw around with a kid, better to pick one from a group that has a little more
history,
a little more momentum with that. I'm not saying every one of them does.
Well, maybe it's just a statistical thing. Maybe in those populations, there is more abuse, so there are more victims, so there are more opportunity to victimize. You know what I'm saying? Pure numbers game.
Well, listen.
Not that anybody's offering kids up, but
you start diddling a Jewish 10-year-old, you're going to have a big fat mad Jewish mom who's the dad's a lawyer is going to sue your ass off. Everything's going to be jig's going to be up. Find some poor Latino family, broken family, and poor is a good way to start.
Right.
Any way you slice it.
I think that's what you're saying, poor and broken. Yeah.
Yeah, but Latino stronger. Stronger choice.
And Heather, the other thing I was saying is
I don't think the guys talk that much. When have you ever heard a 10-year-old Latino boy even say anything?
Michael Jackson, there's a few things we know about him, and one of the things he has said is that I'm not a man, I'm a boy. And what's wrong with that?
Ooh.
And that is a disavowal of reality. Mm-hmm. That's a repudiation of reality, and that's kind of disturbing. Anyway, what's your question?
All right, but good times.
Good times. Well,
good times, yeah, child molesting, good times. The reason that I was calling is I have a family member that's older, and as a child I was, I don't know if you'd say molested, but inappropriately touched.
Come here and give me a hug. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm wondering if,
who did this? Who
my
did
cousin.
This?
He's older. He's like six or eight years older than me. I was 7. He was 13. And I'm wondering, and then, you know, later on, and like, he has his own little girl now, and he has been accused of molesting her older sister, his stepdaughter.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just wondering if you think that pedophiles can be cured, I guess, or if they're sort of going to be like this for the rest of their lives. I don't even know if he's a child molester, but
well,
you kind of know what I mean.
He sort of fits the profile too, Heather. But be that as it may, it's sort of a chronic condition much akin to addiction. And people that treat and deal with this disorder a lot hope, above everything else, that they get to treatment before they harm somebody. That's sort of the one of the goals in these treatments, is to get a hold of these people that could be victimizers before they really act out dangerously and hurt somebody else.
M80 in the urethra is the only real treatment for these people.
We
dilate.
Dr. Alter will be on them.
I use graduated Lucite rods to
simulate the M80?
To dilate the urethra, or stretch it out to the point where I can fit an M80 into it. We modify an M80 because normally the fuse is in the middle of an M80. We actually relocate it to the end.
Nice.
We pack
and
it in there.
Spike shaped.
Inlight it. Yeah. And then when it blows up, it's like a cartoon with an old musket gun. You know when you put your thumb in a musket and it just splays?
Yes.
Yeah. That's how it looks like.
But Heather, so people can be treated, these behaviors can be contained, but it's sort of like, in some respects, changing what people are attracted to. I mean, you know how you're attracted to certain things?
Yeah.
It's hard to change that.
Do you think
you can not act on those attractions, but you can't really change the attraction.
I mean, this has always been my thought, which is, we think of diddling young boys or young girls or young anyone as wrong. But it's easy to think something's wrong when you don't care for it. It would disgust you to do it. I mean, it's like it'd be real easy not to eat fast food if you hated fast food. It made you vomit, just the idea. But if you really did love fast food, it would be difficult to drive past a place, especially with a couple of beers in you on a Saturday night, to pull in.
Absolutely.
And if that's their food of choice... how are you going to talk them out of that?
Just fast food is the perfect analogy. You can, educate and structure and contain and to get people not to do it, but you can't get them not to like the fast food. It's hard to do that.
So, okay.
You can
so
diminish
you...
the drive
substantially. Well, now, I want to know how old his stepdaughter was.
Stepdaughter was, I think, 5 when the mother accused him of this, and she divorced him, actually.
Yeah.
And now he has his own daughter, and she's 5 now. Because it's been a few years now. Yeah. And I'm worried that if this is a chronic condition, like Dr. Drew has said, and like I've heard other people say, he's going to act out on it with her.
Oh, look, if he's taking a pass at his stepdaughter, here's the other thing. Hard to tell whether he's going to take a pass at his daughter. Will take a pass at his daughter's friends.
Right.
That's for sure.
Right.
I mean, the best case scenario is that he diddles one of his daughter's 5 or 6-year-old friends, right? That's the best this guy's going to do, right?
As
worse as he has it, is he does the
daughter.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what to do. You can't hire a drifter to kill him.
He can be treated, but he has to want to be treated, and there has to be a lot of structure and leverage in place. So,
Whatever happened to just getting, putting hits out on people, just contracts.
Still happens.
It just put them down. Yeah, I know, but they're putting down mafiosa guys, and, wives are killing their innocent husbands to collect the insurance and stuff like that. How about just good old straightaway killing? You know what I mean? People that need to be put in the ground.
It'd be much simpler, wouldn't it? It'd be a simpler life.
It really
but
would.
Also,
people have
remember,
a huge objection to that. I have no problem with that.
You've got to remember, the adults that are acting out in this heinous way are the children that we were crying out for 10 or 15 years previously.
I know, but it's like old Yeller. It's like, hey, sorry, buddy. We love you. You're a great dog. You saved me from a bear.
Too late, though.
I know I got to put a bullet in you behind the woodshed. I'm sorry. I hate to do it. Got to put a bullet in you. Yeah, you're a rabbit. You're going to bite somebody.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Julie?
Yes.
You're 21?
I am 21.
What's up?
Okay. For about the past year and a half, my breasts have been leaking.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I've been to doctors, I've been tested, all kinds of tests, I've been on medications, it's never, I mean, medications to dry it up.
Have you been on, were you on medications before it started?
Yes.
What medicine?
I was on birth control for about a year.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
And then I was on Prozac for about 5 years.
Hmm, so they think it's the Prozac?
Yes.
That'd be pretty wild, that's unusual, but yeah, it happens. Well, there you go. And now that you're off the Prozac, it hasn't stopped?
No. I've been off the Prozac for 2.5 years.
Some women, once they get going, any stimulation of the nipple will perpetuate the milk.
That's how I am.
Yeah, Adam is that way.
Mm-hmm.
He's got sensitive nipples.
Very sensitive nipples. I like a little nipple play.
Vomit.
So shoot me. I like nipple play. Does that make me less of a man? Okay,
thank you.
I like a little nipple play. Just light flicking.
No.
Just, and it's good if you moisten the flicking finger, too. Flick. Just a light flick. That's all. All right. Julie?
Yes.
Did we answer Julie's question?
So you've been worked up, and it's Joel is not coming.
All right.
Fantastic. That's fine. Julie, you've been worked up. You've been checked out. You know, it doesn't have to be a heinous thing. It's hard sometimes if you'll like this. If she's large-breasted, sometimes the bra against the nipple will cause the...
Well, the main
Julie,
thing
are you large-breasted?
Yes.
How big are you?
I'm small, and I'm a big C.
Your body is small.
Yes, and I'm a big C.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well,
what size is your body?
A 2 or 4. Like 2 to 4. I weigh about 115.
115. How tall are you?
5'6".
5'6", 115, and a large C.
Yes.
It's a good combo.
Thanks.
Yeah. Sure the fellas enjoy it, right? Yeah. All right. Very modest.
But, I mean, it's real uncomfortable. Like, they will hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I will physically be in pain if they don't leak enough.
Were you on Parlodel?
No, I was on Dostinex.
Okay. Well, these
Dostinex.
Are just things to try to get you to dry up. All right. Well, you're under good care. You do what you can. Sometimes you can't get these things to stop. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with it.
See, but guys don't understand what the, you know, the size. You know, they get into that, she is a 42 double D. Well, that means linebacker size back. On you don't want that big number. So guys get into that. They go... Guys don't know anything about stuff that... And you shouldn't know anything about anything, but you should know about things that affect you.
So your ideal one would be about a 32 double D.
Yeah, I don't even know if they really make that.
But that's an anime character that you draw.
Oh, no, I draw a 30 triple F. You see my drawings?
Yeah.
With the big hubcap-sized areola.
Jessica Rabbit.
No, but I'm just saying... A 34 double D is look out.
Yeah,
that's what you're looking for. You're not. Guys get caught up in the number. As a matter of fact, they'll go, she's a 42 B.
Yeah,
that's not what you want. Mm. That's that. You know, sort of cholo gangbanger thing. You don't want that big. That's a fire hydrant. You don't want that. You want the small number with the big
high letter.
You want to. Here's what you want to do. You want to go down in the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd be heading toward 32 rather than heading up toward 40. You want to be heading down, and then you want to be going down in the alphabet. So it's
up
like
the
a,
alphabet.
Yeah, yeah. Meaning,
down
yeah.
The line.
You want to be a very bad student. You see what I'm saying? You don't want an A average. You want a D or F. That's what you want.
That's what you worked for that for many many years. That's why you sought that out.
Yeah, I was always naturally attracted to the D, and that's why I carried that average in high school.
Oof. Homage.
I'm gonna find my. I'm gonna find out. Maybe I could find out my transcripts or something. I was.
You might get them printed out. Somehow.
I was a 1 and change. C's a 2, right?
I think it's a 2.5, isn't it?
Oh, I just thought it was a 2. Well, we didn't have higher than 4 when I was in high school.
Four was an A. So C is a 2. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So 1 is a D. Yeah.
Yeah, 1 is a D. I was carrying like a 1.3 or 4. I think that was my thing. You know, but that was double digits. I mean, we weren't into the points. Most of Corollas were like, you know.
Point fives.
Yeah, it was like 0.5, like that kind of stuff, 0.7, that kind of stuff. Where I was clearly into the solid numbers, whole numbers, which is, you know, again, an amazing achievement for Corolla. Miriam?
Yeah, hi.
You're 16. What's up?
Well, first of all, I want to say goodbye to Callscreener Tara because she's a wonderful phone screener whenever, so I really hope that she does well. Mm-hmm. And I have a question for both of you.
Yeah, Tara, don't call me Tara. This is going to be her last night.
Yeah, and that's really sad because she's a great phone screener and everything, and I'm sure she's a good person, so good luck.
Whatever.
What happened? Did she talk you up while you were on hold with her?
No, but I used to call and she would pick up, and I was like, oh, she's the greatest. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We know her work.
Sure.
Wow. All right. Well, we're going to miss her. I don't know where she's going.
I think she's
touring the world, I think, with her.
Oh, buddies. She's going on tour. Okay.
On tour. Okay, whatever.
Wherever she's going, it'll be better than where she is.
Lord, her thank you note or something. Anyway, here's my question. Yeah. I am wondering if the morning after pill were available over the counter, completely legal, you know, if you get it, CVS, do you believe that abortion should be legal or illegal? In cases, not counting cases where the mother's health is in danger.
So that's an interesting point, which is now that we've given you some alternative, well, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I still like to keep it legal, but it does add an interesting wrinkle. The problem is your wrinkle is only good for 75%, so it's not going to work.
The morning after pill, only 75%?
Right.
Right.
Well, so the thing is, you have to take in the fact that, you know, you can get condoms and birth control everywhere. I volunteer at Child Welfare Services. They have condom baskets in front of the elevators. It would be nice.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, first off, you're never going to stop stupid people from doing stupid things. It's how they keep their status as idiots.
That's true.
You just have to do stupid things.
Right.
And there's a certain element in this country that you're never going to be able to stop because they're that stupid and they're that effed up and they're that driven. You would like to
be able to.
Now, that is a core group. You're never going to affect that core. But then there's all sorts of people that are sort of hovering around the fence between stupid and sort of quasi-employable. Those are the people that call into this show. And those are the people not you.
Present company accepted.
Yeah. Yeah. But those are the people you could get to.
And right. I think, Miriam, you're asking, I think the question you really mean to ask is, would you trade it? In other words, if somebody would make the morning after pill totally available, would you trade that for an illegalization of abortion?
Personally, I don't think she was asking.
Well, but I think that really puts the cards on the table.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, do you think you should take the risk that stupid people are going to not be able to kill their babies? And take the risk that there's going to be horrible people who are, you know, not really making a contribution to society, take the risk that they'll have kids, with the risk that you're eliminating the idea that people are, you know, just...
In my utopia, Miriam, in my utopia, we'd have the morning after pill available everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We would have illegalization of abortion and an elaborate adoption system that everyone embraces.
See, that's what I want.
That would be my utopia. I don't know that's realistic.
It's not, but I could go for that, too.
That would be my utopia. If there were a way to get there, I'd help it go.
But in the actual world, do you think that abortion should be illegal? Should be legal?
In a perfect world. In the actual world, in the real world?
Yeah. That it just has to be this way, that it has to be legal?
For a while, yeah, obviously it does.
Yeah, look, I'm an atheist, so I don't give a rat's
really
ass about anything.
You're not agnostic?
No.
Oh, no.
Agnostic. Agnostic is a pussy atheist, is really all that is. I don't know if something...
But how do you know it's right and wrong, then, if you're an atheist? Like, I'm not condescending you.
I know. It's a common question that...
Wait a minute. How did Aristotle arrive at absolute moral truths? He was not a Christian. He was a pagan.
I'm not Christian. I'm just curious.
No, I'm just saying that the original people that developed the moral system of logic were not religious.
Look, people want... It's an age-old religious argument, which is, if you're not religious, how do you know right from wrong? Well,
your brain.
I have a brain, I have a conscience, I'm an intelligent person. I understand it's inherently and empirically evil to
certain things.
F my own kid in the A. Even no matter how good it feels, no matter
how could something that feels like it'd be that evil.
I'm just saying, I understand it's a bad thing to do bad things to other people. And that's one of those sort of no-duh things. So you don't have to break it down any further than that. God hope that everyone is born with that. And believe me, let me tell you something, too, you screwballs, you religious nutjobs out there. You guys have an excuse. You can repent. If you have nothing, you have no excuses. There's no heaven. There's no hell. There's just the life you have on this earth. And all you have when you leave is the memories that you leave in other people's heads. Right. And if you did those people wrong, then that's your legacy.
That's you.
They think you're an a-hole. Now, what you guys got is the chance for redemption. Doesn't matter where you are or how far, you know, you can be, you can be going to the gallows, and all you need is the Father to come over there and wave a little Hail Mary over you, and all of a sudden you're back in the good graces of the Lord. That's the easy way out. That's the coward's way out. But believe me, atheists have more to lose. And it's not as if... Hold on. What percentage of people in prison are atheists for murder and for rape and for assault and for incest? What percentage are atheists? Under 10%?
Yeah, but... The other thing is,
those are all God-fearing people that are in there that have effed their kids and put shivs in guys that owned them $10 and raped old women.
Not only that, but where did the laws and moral teachings come from that religious organizations preach?
And God gave it to them.
Right.
Right.
Or a human brain thought them up.
No. God stuffed them into that human brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way,
look,
I got that same brain.
That's look, all you got to do, go on death row. Find all everyone who's murdered everyone, and find out if you find any atheists in that group. Tell me what Drew. Way under 20%. Way under 20%. So you worried about the atheists? I don't think you should be worried about the atheists. You got to worry about the guys who can be forgiven. Atheists can't be forgiven. You kill somebody, ask the Lord's forgiveness. These all they do is interview these guys. Like, what happened? Well, I strayed from the flock a little, but since I've been in the joint, I reestablished my relationship with Jesus Christ, and he's forgiven me. That's great. You got six co-eds still in the ground. You going to see them in heaven? That's got to be uncomfortable. What happened? What? You let him in? Yeah. He strangled me with a car antenna when I was 17 before he raped my corpse. Yeah, but he's in. He repented. That's got to be uncomfortable. Okay, you're up there. You're one of the guys. You're one of the victims of this guy. Yeah, you got to hang out with him in heaven. Does anyone ever think about that? Family. Hey, last I saw you, I was floating above my corpse while you were banging the bejesus out of it by some ditch near the side of the road. This now we're up here. We're in the same place. Really? All right. Hey, it all makes sense. It all makes sense. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Loveline, y'all. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Macy Gray in here tomorrow night. Looking forward to meeting her because she has a great voice. And I don't mean just a singing voice. Well, she does have a great singing voice, but she's got a great voice. But she's nutty. I think she's nutty. She's a little wacky. I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't know who got mad at Rose McGowan, who, by the way, is nuts.
She got mad at Macy?
No, she got mad at me for calling her nuts on the air.
Oh.
She called up one day all pissed off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we had Marilyn Manson in here. And it's like, pfft. By the way, when Marilyn Manson, with the, you know, the tumbler full of laudanum in front of him, calls you nuts, you're nuts. That's Marilyn Manson calling you nuts. That's a guy who's got his own nuts tucked between his legs. And he's calling you nuts? You're nuts. Yes?
Yes.
I don't mean it in a bad way. Or I know maybe it does sound bad, but certain people are a little nutty. Well, can we say that?
Well, there's happy nutty.
Yeah.
There's Napoleon nutty.
Chase you with the butterfly net nutty.
Macy, there's fun nutty. You know,
I think Macy Gray's a little nutty. Good, but yeah, in a goofy, nutty, colorful way.
Right. It doesn't have to mean sick.
No, not. Yeah, not I'm going to torture cats in my mom's basement.
Yeah.
Just a colorful nutty.
Yeah.
We need that.
Good times.
Hey, good times. What the hell was Marilyn Manson drinking that night? What the hell was that stuff?
It's absinthe.
Yeah.
Laudanum.
I'm trying to think of a ghoulish drink that he could drink. All right.
But there was something about that. We had to add water and turn it milky.
I know is I had a couple sips of that thing and was buzzing like a hummingbird.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
And then I said, this is my new drink. I get a little crazy with this absence stuff, and then somebody stole it. Oh, no, really? Lauren, a producer. I think junior producer Lauren took the bottle home with her.
What?
You know what? You know what you do, and this is, by the way, here's what you do when you're an alcoholic or you have a problem with a substance and you don't want people to think you're a boozer. You do this. You go, hey, Drew, hey, Adam, got you a little gift. Oh, that's not, what is that? That's imported absinthe. They get it from, like, Hungary. It's wow, hey, thanks. That's a nice nice bottle of liquor. You didn't have to, but that was nice. I'll just set that down here. And somehow it sort of slides into, let me just get the cork on that.
Let
before
me show
you.
Know you.
It. Yeah. He drank 3/4 of my bottle, and then producer Lauren took the rest home with her.
Which is the other way to hide your drinking habits.
Yeah,
just no. Gone with the leftovers.
What happened to my What happened to my absinthe?
Yeah.
All right, but a couple of swigs off that got a weird buzz. It's weird stuff, bro.
Nice.
Yeah. Hey, but good times.
Yeah, but good times. Yeah.
Listen, I don't know if I could get into that stuff. I think I would get too weird. You know what I mean?
Too buzzed?
I need to dial it down a notch. You know what I mean? A couple of glasses of red wine and me.
You have a strange combination needing to be jacked up and turned down. You know what I mean?
I don't need to be jacked up.
Well, you have an engine that can't start.
Right.
Yeah. It's like,
wait a minute.
Your engine needs to be like started.
Well, I need I like a cup of coffee in the morning.
But your vigilance need to be turned down.
I need to be turned down. I'll go crazy. Yeah. I have too much thought. I'll try to
but
pack
it
in my brain.
It's like the vigilance and the it's strange. It's a strange combo. It's like your sympathetic, like your parasympathetic. You're hyper inhibited, and you need some sympathetic tone.
All I know is I need to. When I get home, I need to dial it down with the booze.
Yeah, but that's just alcoholism.
Okay. Jess.
Yeah.
You're 15.
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, I was just calling with my friend Rachel because we were wondering, like, because recently in today's society, like, there's been a huge boom of kind of, like, the whole gay thing, and it's turned into, like, kind of like a trend, and we were just wondering, like, if there's, like, a fine line between thinking, hey, I think she's pretty, and whether or not you're, like, bisexual or not.
Just been observing American culture for many, many years now, and she sees a recent trend in the last decade or so that's caught
right.
her attention.
Now, back when in the 80s, when she wasn't born, well, yeah, it's much more acceptable for the gals to go at it these days.
Well, it's sort of, I think a lot of girls do it to attract the guys because it's a cool thing, it's a power statement, and they will do it as a way of, not because you have a sexual thing, but it's sort of a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
If, on the other hand, you and some women mistake intimate feelings for sexual feelings. Some women have been traumatized and are very confused about their sexual orientation, and some are lesbian.
Yeah.
That's sort of the spectrum.
Well, also, too, it's sort of a next step sort of situation. Like when you're, and this goes in line with you attracting the guys, but I'm just picturing Britney Spears and Madonna having a little makeout sesh at the MTV thing, which is after, you know, Britney's basically going out there in pasties and a tampon now. What else you gonna do
right.
to arouse men when you're already, listen, you're showing as much crack and as much boob as you can at this point. Where do you go?
Now that you've got Christina coming up and behind, you know, she's going to move up on you if you don't do something more outrageous.
Right, right. So this just sort of lands in the outrageous category. It's almost equivalent to guys with the crazy tats and the crazy piercings. It's just like, hey, back in the day, if you just had long hair, it was enough to piss off the man. Now you got to put a bone through your nose and get a snake going across your face if you want to F you to the man. And if you're a girl, it used to be just wearing a miniskirt was enough to piss off the man, and now you got to make out.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So part of it is just a kind of a general upping the ante.
What is your perception, Jess?
Well, because, like, I know, like, a lot of people I hang out with at school and stuff, like, if they'll meet someone who's like, oh, yeah, I'm bisexual, I like girls and guys, they'll be all like, oh, well, I once kissed a girl, and I'm a girl, I kissed a girl. And it kind of annoys me because a lot of people I know take, like, their sexuality seriously, and it's like, sometimes
you're saying it's a mark of distinction. It's a way of being cool or setting yourself apart.
Yeah. Also, there's a sort of retarded leftism where somehow if you're not gay, you're discriminating. Like, you're not open to it. It's not because you're not gay. It's just because you're closed in your thinking. You're not a free thinker. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're uptight, man. If you loosen up.
You'd be with guys and girls. You're leaving out half the population of the earth to love.
Yeah. What about the animal kingdom?
I mean, those out, too. See? You are uptight, man.
Yeah, well, primates. You know, I mean, you can't.
Of course. Oh, you're so close-minded. Yeah. What is the matter with you, man?
I don't even know you, man.
You can't
get to like amphibians and things like that, can you?
You know, if you really are creative.
Put a frog up your ass. All right. Listen, I'm uptight. I like the gals. That's my thing. Okay, Callie.
Hello.
You're 17.
Yeah. Hey, what's up? It's Callie, by the way. Sorry, Adam.
Did I say that?
Whatever.
Okay. Yeah, my question is, I'm wondering what is acceptable to do on the first date.
Who's that drunken behemoth in the background?
Hey, that's my roommate. Hey guys, can you keep it down, please?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
A hose on him. What? You have roommates. You're 17. You're out of the house, huh?
I live in the group home.
Group home.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So,
hey, first off, watch those group home guys.
Yeah, trust me, I know that much.
Oh yeah, that's. I don't even think they should have co-ed group homes.
Yeah, they shouldn't, but they do.
Why do they have that?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you got some troubled 16-year-old guys.
That's a good point.
You know, dad was an alcoholic and beat the crap out of him, and mom was turning tricks and stuff like that. All of a sudden, you're going to dump him off in some house. And by the way, it's not a group. It's just some house that's been converted into a group home, and there's a bunch of 15-year-old chicks running around. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Kaylee, I suspect that given you're sort of in that kind of population, you might want to, for you, keep the range of acceptable behavior on the first date to a minimum.
Okay. Why are you in a group home?
Well, my parents and I just don't really get along very much anymore, and I like to party, and so she kicked me out a few months ago.
All right, well, so you want to have a good time.
Yeah.
It's all good. Okay, well, you're probably one of the saner people in that group home, but that's not saying a lot. But now, here's the thing. Who are you dating?
Right now, no one. But
well, who's going to ask you out? Someone outside the home?
Crack dealer.
Yeah, I mean, do you get to date outside the home?
Yeah, the crack dealers. Crack dealers, Adam. Be serious here.
Are you going to school?
No, I work full-time.
What prompted this question? What prompted the question?
I've had experiences in the past where guys have sort of been pressing me to do more, and it's not that I didn't want to, but I've gotten a bad rap in the past. Going too far. So
Here's let me explain something to everybody, by the way. You can stop people. People don't know where you're at. They don't know what you're thinking. You know, it's like people get themselves into trouble. They talk too much. They, you know, like you used to be a horrible liar. You know, somebody calls your house now and you pick up the phone. You know, when you're a kid, you're like, well, and they're like, come on, don't you have a couple of minutes talking about? Well, I guess I got a couple of minutes. You know, now you go, I'm right in the middle of something important. And they're like, well, can I? And you're like, no, I'm sorry, can't. And you hang up. You get these skills.
Yeah.
It'll work on the person almost every time. You just got to employ those skills.
Right.
As a girl, you just got to say no. And they'll go, come on, I know you. No. And you don't realize how close they are to shutting down when you let them in.
Right.
Oftentimes, whether it's the guy's trying to sell something or the guy's trying to get in your pants.
Right.
You give them that one more where the guy goes, come on. And you go, well, just a little. Now, you could have shut him down with one more.
Yeah, you cannot leave a crack.
It seems like he's never going to end.
You cannot put a crack in the wall.
That's right.
If they see a crack, then now
they're going to fill it with their penis.
Oh, yeah.
Seamus?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yes, I am.
You have some stats for us on in-flight injuries?
Yes, I do, actually.
Caused by turbulence?
Yeah, I checked it out when you guys were talking about it last week.
We're actually interested in in-flight deaths.
Turbulence. I couldn't find any deaths.
Wait, whoa. There must have been too many.
But we run they can't tell.
Yeah, it's too obvious.
We run a PSA every night that tells you to wear your seatbelt in an airplane because of how your body
because
wasn't made for
40 other
turbulence.
Potentially fatal activities that are you're much more prone to.
Yeah, it's football and rollerblading. Yeah. But how many people are injured, Seamus?
Well, they group it by type of airline or type of airplane. And I figured you guys were talking about commercial flights, so it's like Boeings and Airbuses, which are the two major carriers.
Yeah.
And there were 619 since 1972.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my
Yeah.
Is
that nationally or internationally?
That's national statistics from the FAA.
No, Adam, I thought it would have been more. I thought it would have been like a couple hundred per year at least. Because, you know, people fall and twist their ankle and they claim that.
Yeah, no, people are. Yeah, old ladies are walking drunk to the bathroom when they hit when the plane moves just a little bit and they just take a spill.
That would be in
that
statistic.
Includes workers.
It includes everything. And I'll tell you something. That number, that's amazingly low. Why do we even bother with seatbelts?
30-something.
Now I'm pissed off every time I've been woken up for my seatbelt buckled.
30-something year, 31 years, and they've had six, so it's like 20. Is that like 20 a year?
20 injuries a year.
Yeah, maybe a little less, but 20 a year. And again, that's if you went to serious injuries, it'd be way down into the double digits. Way well into. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. But, hey, it's a first-rate killer, that air turbulence. There's no doubt about it.
Your body's just not meant for it.
It's touched all our lives. My grandfather went from air turbulence. My wife's, both her parents went from air turbulence. I had a brother that I don't like to talk about that went from air turbulence. It's a first-rate killer. What? It'll kill you. I'll take you down.
And
you got to do this PSA.
And we
got a PSA.
And now we got to keep the seatbelt fast until we get to the gate. Until we stop to the gate. How many injuries has there been from that part?
From the part
where they announce every time you hit the ground, please keep your belt up, please, till we stop at the gate.
I always like that part too, which is so if we're T-boned by like a A4 that's being scrambled up, got the belt on.
Yeah,
doesn't just keep you in the fire a couple beats longer.
Or on the other hand, you're cruising at 4 miles an hour and it stops suddenly. What's going to happen then? You're going to.
Yeah, because this is our entire lives have been taken over by this nonsense, by just
BS.
Pure BS. Yeah. And here's whose fault it is. It's the attorney's fault, and then it's the weak-willed pussies who are bringing up these lawsuits. I want to live in an environment where, and I've magically made it through my whole life without a lawsuit.
People have to be accountable.
I want everyone who's done more than one lawsuit, I'm going to put them in what I call a troublemakers category, and they're going to be very closely watched and scrutinized. That's it. Tired of all these pussies destroying our lives. And everyone is always like, well, what difference does that make to you? Believe me, I'm the one who's getting yelled at to put my seatbelt on, and I can't pop it off. And
how many hours of sleep you last with them tugging on you because your blanket's over your seatbelt? Secondly, how much money is wasted? It could have been. Hey, talk about giving money to the poor and more productive places.
I would just love it if some candidate came in and said, look, I'm going to take this country. I'm going to start running it like a German factory. You understand? I'm going to start looking at and here's the way I figure it. I figure we got about 99% people that are just greased cogs, and there's 1%, and that's the sand that's getting in between everything and screwing it up. These are the guys with the 15 lawsuits. These are the guys that are cranking out the 30 kids. These are the guys that are in and out of they're going through the system. They got their parole officers. I'm going to find these guys. We're going to extricate them from society, and then we're going to hum along. Yeah, that's what I want. And people are scared of that. They're like, oh, well, here's all you have to be scared of. You're the sand in my gears. You need to be scared. If you're not, you got no problems. That's what we're talking about, Drew. I don't know what this – there's this sort of thought that once they start this process, they'll just keep going.
It's a slippery slope. Guillotine's next. Guillotine.
Yeah.
Slippery slope.
Yeah. You let Kevorkian do what he does.
So, guillotine.
You're just killing innocent people.
Slope.
No, you're right.
Children,
all right.
Well, adults, everybody.
We'll take a healthy people.
Slippery slope.
Take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-7-7-7-7.
Big week coming up.
Yeah. Macy Gray coming up. Kathy Griffin, dear friend. Tori Amos, dear friend. David Allen Greer, dear friend. Coming up, too.
Woo!
Who is that? Is that AFI doing that Boys of Summer song? Who's that?
The Ataris.
Oh, the Ataris. Oh, I'd kill them for making that horse-ass song.
Who's doing this song, though?
So I like a girl stunt. With a big butt, but fruit in the middle. It's juicy, it's sweet, because it's fruit and in the middle.
Yeah.
How about a little cheer from Dag?
It's a little David Allen Greer for you.
I like
that. See my finger, see my thumb. We got the ball, you better run. S-O-C-K-I-T, sock it to me. Baby, my head is aching. My hips are tight, and hips are shaking from left to right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Cash check, don't take no job. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Come on, baby, we gonna win. That's a chair, baby. That's a chair.
Oh, yeah. I'll drink my coffee that night.
He's got a talented man, David Allen Greer. Deeply troubled. You got talented man. And listen, you know, people think David is all fun and games. Drew and I know a deeply, deeply troubled man.
I just remember that voice. Don't look. Don't look at me routine he did. Do you have that one on tape by chance?
Yeah, let me
yeah,
find
that
it.
Was,
there it is. Here it is. Oh, you can't find it?
So let me find it. Hold on.
He'll find that a deeply troubled David Allen Greer will be in. Who's in good spirits, by the way,
is he?
These days.
Smiley?
Yeah. Oh, I was in Vegas with him.
Oh, yeah.
He's mad at me for making him see Siegfried and Roy, 6 months ago when I was there. But I said, hey, these guys aren't going to be around forever, and you're going to want to say you saw them.
And he's still mad at you, or now he's
still mad, yeah. Well, he didn't want to go see the show. I said, we're seeing Siegfried and Roy. Listen, in 1977 or 76, when people were seeing Elvis,
yeah.
I'm sure the cool people were making fun of those idiots.
Oh,
were
absolutely.
Seeing big, fat Elvis at some, you know, he's wearing some crushed powder blue velvet jumpsuit and stuff. Meanwhile, Crosby, Stills, and Nash are playing at the Thomas and Mack Arena, and they're like, hey, let's go over there.
Absolutely.
This is a cool people. Yeah, what are you, my parents?
He was
you're going to see
he was at the Hilton.
You're going to see Elvis at the Hilton? Yeah, okay. It's a fat, bloated, out-of-shape Elvis singing a bunch of old songs way past his
with
prime.
With a bunch of old people yelling at him.
But those people are glad they saw him now, right? You can say you saw Elvis. Yeah. I saw Siegfried and Roy just a few months before the Tiger bit him. And I dragged Dag to see that because as a dear, dear friend, I felt responsible for him. And he holds it against me. We're going to have it out Thursday night, by the way. All right, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Don't look at me. Don't look at me. I will give you something to smile about.
That was a Dag in his sexual prime. Oh,
that's how he makes love.
That's what he said. He said it's for real, too.
Yeah.
He wasn't kidding.
He grabs a tuft of your hair, he beats on your ass, yells at you not to look at him, and then immediately goes out after orgasm.
Wonders why he has girl problems. Anyway, Mario, what's going on?
Mario, you're 22.
Hey, Adam. Dr. Drew, hey. Adam, hey. You are the closest thing to God this planet has ever seen, brother.
Thanks.
Seriously, my hero.
Thank you.
I got a bit of a problem going on. I had sex with this girl today. I mean, not but 2 hours ago. And she told me that she can't be impregnated before. And the story changed afterwards. And so I suggested, well, a morning after pill. I hear Dr. Drew preach about it left and right. So she refuses.
Why?
She's going on the whole. I think she's going on the whole abortion trip. I tried to tell her it's not an abortion.
Not an abortion pill. It'll suppress her ovulation.
Right,
just take
right.
it as soon as possible. Get the plan B. Go get it. Just go get it for her and just get her to take.
I mean, how do you make
massage her neck and shoot it down her throat?
You can't give it
stuff
to her
a goose
without her knowing it. But you can certainly offer it to her. Let her understand what it is. It's nothing. Doing an abortion, it'll just, if she hasn't ovulated yet, it will make sure it doesn't happen.
Say Drew and God want you to take it. Lorenzo.
Yes.
Lorenzo's got a problem at something I was saying with the Latin culture being a little more okay with the incest.
No, it wasn't black. It was that when, and you know, this is what happened when I was driving, home, and you know, and listen, I'm a big fan of you guys.
Thank you.
First of all, I'm a big fan of you. But I get a sense. A lot of times that, you know, you have kind of empathy to Latino community or whatever. Okay, and today I just happened to hear that in the Latino community it's like something like, if I'm not mistaken, like molesting or effing your kids is a normal thing. You wouldn't
well,
explain that.
No,
and, I mean,
more
I just
prevalent.
I'm just making sure because, listen, one time I called for Stuart Copeland was on your show.
Stuart Copeland,
Police.
Of the Police, yes.
Yeah. And I was talking to him, and you guys were talking before something about, he was saying something about that you guys can, you know, can kind of tell, you know, according to the voice of the person, can tell, you know, if kind of problem they have. You know, if
Lorenzo, hold on a second.
Hold on a second, Lorenzo.
We got to take a break.
Yes. I poke fun at all communities, but
yes, you leave
the land with the kids. Yeah, there's a little more of that going on.
Aye! It's not Latin. It's in poor communities in Mexico, I think you're talking about.
Yeah. I'll tell you a story about that.
All right.
When we come back. Line, Adam. That's disgusted, Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Macy Gray in here tomorrow night. Excited to meet her, Kathy Griffin. Not so excited to see her, but
you got to RSVP to her party.
I got to call her back. Yeah.
You got to wear a tuxedo to that party too.
Yeah.
Her invitation says, "I'm not effing S-ing you. You must wear a tuxedo."
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Tori Amos, who's not effing or S-ing either one of us, is in here. And then Dag, David Allen Greer's, I know. All right. Let me just get
and
back to
you. We have dinner on Friday.
Yeah. Let's get back to Lorenzo. So, listen, Lorenzo.
Yes.
Lorenzo took exception to my... we were talking at the beginning of the show whereas Michael Jackson, his young boy, seems to be a young Hispanic kid. And I was saying, I think it's a little easier to get away with that in the culture. You got a better victim over there than you do a young Japanese kid.
More likely to have a victim with that with a darker skin.
You're playing your odds. Like, here's my point. Okay. Here's what I'm saying. Right. If I'm going to molest a 10-year-old, I pass by the Jew and the Japanese kid, the black kid, I go to the Mexican kid. I think I can pull it off with that kid. That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe, let me put an alternate spin on it. Maybe you're just looking for a victim.
The milky brown skin.
And you're more likely to come across one of those first just playing the numbers.
Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
Okay. All right.
That's what I'm doing.
In Southern California, by the way.
Okay.
Southern California.
Listen to me just 1 second, okay?
All right.
The way that you put it, okay, I remember this, I was telling you, just now, you know, interviewing Stuart Copeland. And, you know, he asked me where I'm from, and I said from Peru. And before that, he was saying that you guys can recognize, you know, whether, you know, a person was abused, or, you know, has something going on here on her childhood through her voice. I don't know if you remember
that. Well, we can though.
Okay, but now, when Stuart Copeland, you know, he asked me, where are you from? I said, I'm from Peru. And, you know, he started talking in Spanish, and, you know, we, you know, just a good time. And then, you know, he said, oh, you know, you can tell by his voice that, you know, he was, you know, abused as a child. And then, Alan, you said, well, you know, if he's from Peru, you know, on that country, it's normal. Okay,
it's normal to have abuse.
What I'm saying is, you know, I mean,
it's normal there to be sexual abuse.
You are not an a-hole. Okay, you are my guy. I really like you.
Well, Lorenzo, you got that part wrong. So, you got that part very, very wrong.
All right, but listen.
Okay, so
David, made your point. And as I make my living off of stereotyping, please don't get in the way. Because one day I will stereotype against a group other than yours, and you'll be happy that I stereotype.
You always,
you see what I'm saying?
But you do. You stereotype. You don't leave anybody out.
No, including my own family, for Christ's sake. You know, so listen, I got ideas. I don't have time to research everything.
Well, you were going
thank you.
You were going to tell some research you've done with the Garden Grove Police.
I went out with the Garden Grove Police once, and the guy told me he worked on, I'm not going to mention the officer's name, but he worked in the child services, whatever, with the molestation and the juvenile, whatever. And he said every single case he goes on is Latino. And that's probably most of the population of that group. So that's about 80% of it. It's not like he's working the Beverly Hills beat. But I had a talk with him, and he said it's a little more popular in that culture, and it it stuck. That's all.
I really think it's rural, poor Mexico.
Doesn't, yeah.
That, and a couple generations ago where that got
gone. Well, listen, you're going to live at home until you're 25. You're going to get nailed by grandpa eventually. I mean, that's the long and the short of it. Diana?
Hello?
You're 14?
Yeah.
You're, let's see, what does S&M stand for? Knows what it means.
My name's Brianna.
What, huh?
My name's Brianna.
Brianna, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not Brianna.
It's not Diana, like it says there. It's
right.
Brianna.
Yeah.
Which is like Brianna, but it's Brianna.
Probably one N instead of two N's. Right?
Or
whatever.
Well, what? No, I'm curious. Do you spell your name the same as Brianna and pronounce it differently?
I spell it B-R-I-M-A.
Oh. M-A? Brima?
No, B-R-I-N-A.
Hey, okay. Like I said, one N instead of two.
Oh, that's Brianna's two N's.
Yeah.
What the hell kind of name is Brianna? Uh-oh.
Oh.
Smoke detector.
All right.
Brianna?
Yeah.
Now, we didn't hear it. It must be about a
minute. I'm
going
to need you to move a little closer to the smoke detector. And don't tell me you don't have one, because I heard it.
I don't have a smoke detector.
Yeah, it's a
move closer to the one you don't have, then.
There's something. Look in the ceiling or on the walls. You'll see a little round disc.
I do not have a smoke detector.
Okay, do me a favor.
Be quiet for a second.
Just be quiet. Hold the phone away from your mouth. Just hold it up into the air.
Okay.
All hold right. it up there for a second. We're usually at 38, aren't we?
Yeah.
This one, I think, must be around 50 because we didn't need... What's she doing?
I don't know. Brianna?
Yeah?
You there?
Yeah.
Hold on a second.
I heard a smoke. I heard the thing.
Oh, I definitely heard it.
Well, how come we can't hear it?
Because it's going to be it's not going to be a normal periodicity in it.
No, they're all between 30 and 40 seconds.
Did you just shut a door? Brianna?
Huh?
Did you just shut a door or something?
No, I just turned off the TV.
Turn off
the
TV.
Sounded like the door closed. Are you standing where you were standing?
When you started talking to us.
No.
Go back to where you were when you just began the conversation. Are you there now?
Okay.
All right. What part of the house are you in?
In my room.
Okay. You're in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Is this where you were when you were talking to us, when we were talking about the smoke alarm?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
But the TV was on then. It's off now.
Yeah. Maybe something came from the TV.
No,
do you live in an apartment?
No, a house.
You live in a house. Is it a newer house?
No.
Yeah, but that could be 1993, right?
Right.
How old do you think the house is?
Chicago?
It was built about 40, 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And no smoke detector in the house, huh?
Nope. Well, in the house, yeah, of course, but not in my room.
Okay.
We'll go to the nearest one.
I cannot leave my room at this. It's like 1 a.m. right here.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's asleep.
Mm-hmm. Where's the nearest one? In the hallway?
I have no clue.
Mm-hmm. Your parents not putting one in your room means they don't love you, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll make sure to tell them that.
My parents not only didn't have a smoke detector in my room, they kept oily rags, and they let a hobo play with a Zippo lighter next to it while I slept.
Nice.
Yeah. What a coincidence.
Back in the back porch, made of toothpicks.
Yeah.
Brianna, Anderson, it was at a minute four. See if you can find a tape of that for us.
No, it wasn't at a minute four. Was it like 59?
I'm not going to stop the whole show for that.
He's not going to stop the show. Come on.
I thought he'd
go on your wild goose chase.
I'll play one for you if you want to hear one. I mean, if it's that important to you.
No, it's just driving. It drives us. Listen, we're like prisoners in the studio. I have to figure out ways to occupy that's ourselves. And that's Anderson playing it. All right, so listen, Brianna.
Mm-hmm.
You had a question?
Yeah, she wants to know what the S and the M stand for.
Right?
Yeah.
Sadism and masochism.
Huh?
Sadism and masochism.
What's that?
That's what S and M stands for.
So sadism means you like to do... you like to do stuff to people, and the masochism part's like doing stuff to you, right?
Right.
Oh, okay. And I just want to say, I was listening, and before when you were talking about the religion and stuff.
Yeah.
Know what I'm talking about? About forgiveness and all that.
Yeah.
Atheism.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Okay, she ran out of steam there. I wish you could go back. You know what I like about you know what I love about our callers? It's like you go, listen, I want you to go toward the smoke detector in the house. We don't have one. I know you please, you have to have one, and we heard one. No, we don't. You don't? There's no smoke detector in the house? No. And then 5 minutes later, I know we heard a smoke there. Yeah, it's not in my room. That's it. Is it what is that? Was I that stupid at 14? Or you is it stupid meets combative?
Yes.
Stubative?
Stubative.
It's just stubative?
Stubative, yes.
Like, I didn't say the smoke detector in your bedroom. I just said your house has no smoke. No, no smoke detector.
Speaking of disgust, I got to talk about the newscast on Friday night. I saw with this 2020 episode about a guy getting amnesia, and he was so clearly a trauma survivor with bipolar mania. And they presented this story about this guy forgetting who his wife is as though it's just like on a soap, like a Gilligan's Island episode where he got hit with a coconut, and now he's ginger. It's like, he forget. People want to believe, no one consults about what. You know, I was sitting there thinking to myself, you know what reminded me of is that song Ruby Tuesday. Lose your dreams and you will lose your mind. Yeah. You know what will happen to you if you lose your dreams, Adam?
Hmm.
You lose your mind.
Yeah.
Everyone knows somebody that's lost their mind because they stopped having dreams.
Sure.
Everybody.
Sure.
Yeah. Never happened.
Well, listen, here's the whole thing. Whenever you watch the news, whenever you read an article, whenever you read the news, if it's ever about you, you know it's totally wrong. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Read about yourself is just off.
Right. In other words, if somebody's quoting you or giving a report about you, they're
if someone did a story on you, it'd be wrong.
Yeah.
So now everything you see on TV that isn't you,
worse.
Assume that it's wrong.
Yeah.
Assume that if that was you, it wouldn't be accurate.
Right.
And therefore, it isn't. Stupid.
Then we've done the Jay McGraw thing, followed that, and that just was...
Drew doesn't like Jay McGraw selling more books than him.
No, I don't like that.
Because his dad's Dr. Phil.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
He's going to write a book for teens and how to lose weight.
I don't like that the press doesn't ask questions.
They're just a bunch of ass kissers. Look, listen, this is the publicist. The publicist, if they hardball them, then they don't get them next time. It's just but it's more publicists being. The publicists are just they're leeches on society. They're really the pariahs. Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to kick all the publicists and all the attorneys and just pack them into one cannon and then pack it with ass and fire it into the ocean and just be done with it. It's a much better society. No publicists. No attorneys. What a utopia we'd be living in, Drew. This is just publicist crap. Screw them.
You
David?
The press, what are the press supposed to be?
Hi.
What's up?
Anyway.
I had a Florida or Germany for you, Adam.
All right. All right,
bring us, raise our spirits.
All right. It's Germany or Florida, by the way.
Well, I had a quick question, like an actual Loveline legitimate question real quick. It's just a really quick one.
Yeah. All right.
I just want to know, my friends and I have been arguing over this. Okay. Is it true that, like, the term threesome and the term gangbang have two different meanings? Like, a threesome has to be two girls and a guy, and a gangbang has to be two guys and a girl.
Whatever.
Gangbang implies more men. Threesome could go either way.
A gangbang implies multiple penises. Yeah. Here, okay, let's break it down. We never broke this down before. Gangbang means more than one Johnson.
Probably more than two,
yeah. Because if you thought you were going to take on a gang of two guys, you wouldn't really worry about it.
Right.
All right. Yeah. So gang means three or more.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the penis.
But it's not girls.
One vagina.
Right.
That's a gangbang. If you start including more vaginas, now you got an orgy on your hands.
Right, that's right.
Okay, and then a threesome can be of any mixture, but or the same.
But when
although three guys going at it is technically, I guess, still a threesome, but in the eyes of God.
But when a male brings it up to a girl,
he's
talking about two girls.
He's talking about
almost to that exception.
Right. All right,
Germany or Florida, make us happy.
All right. So I guess I'm not supposed to say where.
Hold on, the
hold
theme.
On. Germany offloaded.
That's Pink singing the theme. Go ahead.
Okay. I guess this happened actually like a while back. There was I guess some like political turmoil going on, and it became like pretty intense. Like this one guy actually developed like a pretty big hatred towards like members of like the Jewish race and everything. Mm-hmm. And it actually became like legalizing like the massive genocide of like millions of like Jewish people actually.
Was that Florida or Germany?
Yeah.
Yeah, where'd that happen? Germany or Florida?
Most our callers are stumped. Well, wait a minute. Now, this seems too obvious to be Germany.
Come on, he's saying it's a joke.
They wanted to legalize. What do you want to do? He wanted to legalize?
Like the genocide of millions of Jews.
Did he carry it out?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it actually, I believe that World War started over it.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Thank you. Oh, he's screwing around.
Yes, he's screwing
around. All right. I'm so naive.
Well done. Well done. Thank you.
Don't ever call again. All right.
I like that.
Believe me, Kelly Osborne doesn't know who we're talking about.
She's expert in World War II.
I only bring her up because I was announcing that women don't know anything about war, and she fought back feverishly, explaining that, yes, we do. I do. I'm studying it in school. My father is from England. I know all about the war. I said, okay.
Who are the Axis powers?
Who are the good guys and who are the bad guys? Oh, please. That's not fair. It's not fair.
It's like, you are the weakest link. Goodbye.
It's like saying, I know everything about cars. It's like, okay, how many wheels on a car? Oh, that's an unfair question. No, it's not. It's the world's easiest question. We're just, you know, I didn't ask you about the cam timing. I just asked you how many wheels on a regular car. Yeah, that's what that was. Unfair.
No.
All right.
How dare you?
How dare you? Listen, and then she got mad at me for laughing at her. But my whole thing was just don't pipe up.
But then we had a woman call who was an expert, military expert.
Didn't know anything either, or knew something, but not that much. Here's all I'm saying. A lot of people piping up in this society about stuff they don't know. It's not like me. I know everything. I'm talking about the incest and Latino cultures. I know what I'm talking about. You see what I'm saying, Drew?
Yes, I see what you're saying.
I have data.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to... now, look. Is this person's name Chevelle?
Yeah.
Chevelle?
Yeah.
Is that your name?
Yeah.
That's your real name?
Yeah, after the car.
All right.
Excellent. Yeah.
That's a bad sign, boy. That's serious white trash right there.
I know.
Your dad was your dad was he's into Chevelles?
Yeah.
Collects them?
Huh?
Thinks it was a travesty that they were discontinued?
I don't know.
That still complain that
you don't know your dad.
Oh. No. But I know I was conceived in the back of a Chevelle.
Perfect. And yeah. It's a good thing you weren't
white trash.
You could have been in a Daihatsu Charade or something. I mean, it could have been worse.
Yeah.
The Chevelle at 16 doesn't. I mean, the Chevelle would have to be 25 years old.
My dad was a Chevelle man. And let me say this once. Let me say to all you white trash idiots out there with your stupid wife beaters and your bad mustaches. I watch these crappy, all I watch is car shows when I get home and I see these jackasses. Oh, there's Chevelle, all this. They love all that American muscle. Let me just tell you something about your beloved American muscle car. Straight axles in the back. Just drum brakes and leaf springs. Pieces of junk.
GT40.
Junk.
GT40?
GT40 was barely a production car. They made 7 of them. They didn't even make them. How dare you?
Wow.
All that other stuff you guys get nostalgic about, though, all those Corvettes, all those Mustangs, there's about 3 of them that are nice. The rest are junk. All that Chevelle, all that stuff, all that big bots, but the iron blocks and iron heads and 1950s technology. Just junk. Just pure junk. Please, get over yourselves. Those cars suck. Thank you, Chevelle. Go ahead.
Okay. Well,
I'm tired of all these idiots from Florida with their bad mustaches talking about Mustangs and coming in their pants. These cars are junk. Go get in one. Go drive one. It's just junk.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So
now that you got that out. Okay.
So your dad named you Chevelle and then split?
No, my mom named me Chevelle. My dad split before he even knew my mom. Well, as soon as he found out my mom was pregnant, he took off.
All right. What's your question?
Okay. Well, I'm 16, and my best friend, her parents know that I've been going through a lot of family troubles. And they said about, because this happened about a year ago, that things started getting really bad. And so they said that they would be willing to take me in as one of their kids, because they've only got two kids. And anyway, but my question is if I go with them, if I live with them, then I would have to call social services in order to get it legally, like them as my legal parents.
Right.
But if I do that, I would be taking chances of having my other little brothers and sisters taken away from my parents.
Taken away to a place of safety.
Yeah, I don't want them split up, like not seeing each other.
You'd rather have them together in hell than split apart in a decent environment?
Because they're not treated the same as I am.
Yeah. They're gonna.
Well, the social services don't rush in and take everybody away.
You know? How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two little brothers and a little sister.
Yeah. Stepdad is the one that's
criminal, criminal, and stripper. That's what I hear.
is the stepdad the one that's mistreating you?
Is what?
The stepdad the one that's mistreating you?
Well, it's kind of my stepdad. He's like an alcoholic, and my mom is. My mom just doesn't like me. We constantly fight, like, all the time. And she's constantly saying how, like, she regretted having me and things like that. And, she found out that I, you know, because I cut myself. And she found that out. And she grounded me for, like, a month for finding out about it.
Kept you from cutting.
Now, how old is little Pinta Vega?
Stephanie?
And, Pinto Vega. And, I know Pacer has a weight problem. You had to see
Gremlin.
It coming.
Gremlin's a tiny.
What?
No, what are you, your other friend? Your other, they named after cars or?
No. They're named after family members.
Oh, they're named after other places they were conceived, like cot, lawn, and haystack.
Couch.
Porch sofa. Come here and do your homework. Hey,
Chevelle. Here's the deal. Chevelle, get out of there. It's fine.
Hey, lounge
social
chair.
Social services, we're all for it. They will. Their job is to improve things, not to make things worse.
All right.
Just go ahead and
Chevelle.
Do what you need to do.
All right. And, baby, don't act out now. Don't get pregnant.
I don't want to. I'm not. I'm still a virgin. I don't want
good.
To.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't want to do that.
Look. Here's what you all need to do. You all need to do the exact opposite of your parents.
Yeah.
If you have crappy parents.
Thank you.
Yes, you need to remain a virgin for as long as you can, get good grades, get an education, and have a fruitful and healthy life.
Yeah.
Yes, and do that, and then wave your money in front of your parents and taunt them. That's what
like
I
Adam
do.
Does, yes.
That's
Adam
what I do.
He doesn't makes a point of that.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving was quite an illustrious experience with you with those dollar bills. There were $1,000 bills, weren't there?
That's what I do. Yeah, I show up at my dad's house, and I crumple up $5 bills, and I throw it at him. And I yell, hey, old man, get me more gravy.
Start smoking $50 bills.
Yeah, I know. I actually light Cuban cigars with a $50 bill. And then I crumple up fives and tens. I throw it at my dad. More gravy, you. And I yell at my stepmom. Yeah, more hollandaise sauce. And I just start screaming at everyone, and then I pelt them with money. And then once in a while, I grab a handful of quarters and I throw them in the hallway and watch them scurry. Watch them scurry after it. And then I laugh.
Maniacally.
Oh, no. All my laughs are maniacal.
That's true.
All right. It's good times. We're going to take ourselves a break. Wants to know about praying. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Very nice.
You doing all right?
Yeah, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Calm.
Yeah.
We had family pictures taken on...
Oh, that's gay.
Like a Friday.
That's
they
super
came out
gay.
Great.
That's kind of came out gay. Yeah. What was in the background? Something blue?
Laguna Beach. No, it was like it was.
Oh, it was real, outside. Real stuff. Outside, I like that backdrop.
We had this spectacular sunset. We were running around trying to get lighting and stuff with dogs. You know, we had our dogs with us trying to get them to behave themselves.
My nieces all go to. They all live in like Oregon.
Yeah.
And they show me their school pictures, and I'm like. What is that? That's a pretty realistic looking tree behind you. It's like, that's a tree. Oh, what happened to the weird blue backdrop? That's a tree.
Outside.
What do you guys do? Take pictures outside for your school? Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that next to your school that's green? That's a forest. Where's the stucco and the aluminum windows and the blacktop? That's
North Hollywood.
That's Oregon. Yeah, well, you're from North Hollywood. Wow. How do you go to school where there's trees and stuff? Uh-huh. Take our pictures outside. Like, it's bizarre. I can't even picture it. It just seems so... I'm wondering why these people aren't healthier. Here's what I'm curious about. I talk to people. Riddle me this, Drew.
Yeah.
I work with guys that are like, where'd you grow up? Pebble Beach. What do you mean, Pebble Beach? Well, just right there. I mean, like, near the country club and, you know, up north there? Mm-hmm. Just a couple, you know, couple blocks away. And what'd you do when you were in high school? I was on the golf team. Well, what'd you do? Well, we played Pebble Beach almost, you know, every day. And what'd your dad do? Hey, he was a lawyer for whatever, and he lived right by. We lived right on the beach there. And I was looking, I'm like, why aren't you healthier?
You mean, why aren't they more productive?
Yeah, they just seem as nutty as the next guy. They got their problems. They have their insecurities or idiosyncratic.
The wind out of their sails, as they say. It's like, where are you going from there?
I guess not. Yeah, this is a big letdown.
Yeah, everything else just, hey, you've done it. Everything else cool. Whatever. Whatever. Fine.
I just think they should be healthier. That's all.
You would think.
One would. All right, we'll take a quick break.
All about the family, though. Families can be sick everywhere.
Thank you. We'll be back. Hey, yo, Loveline, I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Macy Gray in here tomorrow night. Never had her on the show, as far as I know.
No.
No. So excited to meet her. All right. Want to talk to Dana about... how do you spell Dana? You spell Dana
just,
that way?
I knew that was coming.
Hey.
That's crazy.
Hey, let me say something, phone screeners. I give this speech... Drew.
No.
Remember on Loveline, the TV show?
That is phonetic. That's phonetic.
Fine.
Nah.
Got no problem with that. But remember Loveline, the TV show?
Oh, yes.
They would hold people's names up on a cardboard card.
Yes.
And I couldn't pronounce any of it. It'd be like, Maki, and they'd go, Michael. Yeah. And then I'd look like a retard because I couldn't read the name Michael, right. Except for... Nobody could read it the way they actually spelled it.
Right.
And I would scream at these people all the time. I don't give a rat's ass how the guy spells his name. You just write it like it is. If it's Dana, just write Dana. Now, this is fine. It's phonetic. It's cool. But listen, all you screwballs with your whacked-out spellings, you're special, you're cool, you're stupid hippie parents. Screw you and your whacked-out spellings. Spell them one way. That's it. And phone screeners, if they say their name is Dana... Then you just spell it Dana. That's it. There's a female and there's a male, right?
Yeah.
One of them's got an H somewhere. Dana?
Hi.
What's happening?
Not too much. It's D-A-N-A. Not too hard.
Well, the way it's up on our screen.
Well, that must have just been a typo.
Yeah.
All right. And I don't hold typos against people.
That's okay.
All right, Dana. We got D-A-Y-N-A.
Unless they're afraid you're going to say Dana and they want to spell it out.
Ah,
okay. In that case,
I ain't going to hold that against them either.
It's okay. I get that all the time. Don't worry about it. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was having sex with a guy and the condom broke when we were having sex, but he hadn't come yet, so I was wondering what is the likelihood of somebody getting pregnant by pre-cum if I'm not on birth control.
Mm-hmm.
No one can give you a number, but it can happen.
But look, Drew, let me ask you this.
Not as likely as if he had ejaculated.
Okay, they say that the pre-goo has semen in it oftentimes, sperm in it oftentimes,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Huh?
Oftentimes, not all the time.
Not all the time.
Now, remember when I started doing the show, there was like, that's sperm rich.
Yes.
More sperm in it than...
Yes, for a while there, they were saying highly concentrated. Now they're saying some guys is concentrated,
right,
some guys is empty.
That was nothing but BS, which is a scare tactic to try to scare people, right?
It was used that way.
Now, 53,000 Americans die every year from secondhand smoke.
And
really?
That's... hundreds of thousands in airplane turbulence accidents.
That's right. But wait a minute. These are lies. Oh, no, but they're good. No, don't worry. People are stupid. We'll tell them what they should know because it'll scare them not to smoke or to put their seatbelts on or to wear a condom. And that way, we're righteous that way. We got God on our side on this one. Really? So you just lie? That's great. But All right, so you don't like it when we lie about Saddam Hussein having weapons of mass destruction so we can go put a terrorist down, essentially, right? That kind of lying not good? Your kind of lying is good?
Right.
Oh, but our lying is to save people. Well, maybe that's our lying, too. You got to look at it that way. But that's basically it. That's the difference. That's the difference between Democrats and Republicans. Democrats lie about secondhand smoke, airplane turbulence, and how AIDS is an equal opportunity killer. Republicans lie, say this guy has he has weapons of mass destruction as an excuse to go over there and stomp him.
Yeah.
That's how the lying goes. And both well intentioned. If you really break it down, for the most part, they're trying to save lives, so we got to lie. I just like the part where the Democrats are outraged.
Yes.
That there's this kind of lying going on.
Right.
All right. So, pre-cum. Got a little sperm in it.
Can get pregnant. Should use morning after pill.
Maybe does. What about the fact that it's not being injected? How much does that do?
Nothing.
Because, I've hit myself in the forehead before. Oh, yeah. And my head was on the other side of the room, too. It wasn't even attached. Really? I mean, it was like it's a good 16, 17 feet. No, but I mean, you know, once in a while, you get off a good one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always a weird surprise, too.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You're beating off, and it's like, yep, just like it's like a volcano. It's just dribbling down. So
lava.
Hit myself in the sternum. Where'd that one? It's like a rogue blob. Shoots out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's good times.
Yeah. So here's my point. That's pressure.
Yeah,
that could get up a woman.
But the penis is already the point at which you insert your penis. Maybe mm-hmm. not you specifically, but mm-hmm. most
one.
Men. One. You're up against the cervix. You're right. Yeah. You're there. So it doesn't really matter.
Why would it eject then? It must be serve some purpose.
Just to clear the pipe to get it all out.
Oh, really?
Much
all right. So really, really, the ejection doesn't a little something.
Maybe
not
if you
a doctor.
Maybe
I know it does
maybe
something.
If you were on the backstroke, it helps head it towards the cervix.
I never eject on the back.
But again, things kind of collapse anyway around, so it mm-hmm. doesn't really.
I time it for the front stroke.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Go back. I got to work that out. I never really think about that. All right, so, but this was some days ago, right?
Ooh, I didn't hear that.
Dana, when was this?
This was about 3 weeks ago.
Oop.
Well, if you're pregnant, you're pregnant.
You got a pregnancy test. You got a pregnancy test, you can put it to rest.
Okay, so, but you're saying...
Yeah.
Yes, you can get pregnant. Can I tell you what exactly your risk is? Of course not.
Right.
Of course not.
Jordan?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yep.
You have a Germany or Florida?
Yes, I do.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Guy walks into a cathedral after Mass, and he holds up one of the fathers or reverends or whatever at gunpoint and robs him of the collection plate. Mm-hmm. On the way of running out, he trips and drops his identification. Mm-hmm. He realizes a half hour later that he dropped his ID, went back to claim it, and they arrested him.
Mm-hmm. Smacks of Florida.
Cathedral, though. Germany.
Cathedral.
Germany.
Ooh.
Cathedral's Germany, but then the behavior is Florida.
Maybe it was a Floridian who was traveling
in Germany. Oh.
Cathedral does sound, but see, sometimes we do have cathedrals out here.
Yeah.
Although they're made out of that stucco with the sparkly stuff in
that
it.
That or Lego.
Out here. Oh, by the way, anything worse than a bad 70s church? The whole valley is just, they're strewn all over the valley. Just bad stucco. It's like aluminum sliding stained glass windows and just crappy 70s architecture and a weird, literally, that sort of burnt orange sparkly stucco and stuff with the rough sponge finish on it. Oh, my God, it's got to be pissed about that. God, this guy's got to be mad.
What were we thinking?
Yeah. Hey, all right, so where are we going? You're going cathedral, you're going Germany. All right, we're going Germany.
Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, Drew. Smart move. See, you're listening, Drew. There's clues everywhere. I want to talk to this guy.
All right.
It's been on hold for 61 minutes. Brian.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, you're 24.
True. I, over the weekend, had a bet going with some of my friends. We got together for Thanksgiving, and we were talking about how much dairy we had to eat. And one of them said, I heard somewhere you couldn't drink a gallon of milk in an hour.
And I was like, I mean, I drink a lot of milk. I enjoy milk, you know, at restaurants and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think I could. So the next day we had like a milk off. And
I had one of those too. We called them circle jerks back then, though.
Not you. Yeah.
In the day.
It was a more innocent time. But, yeah, so you had your milk off.
Right. So we put up $20 and bought 2 half gallons of vitamin D milk. Mm-hmm. And I sat down and I just couldn't do it. And about 3/4 of the way through, like, I was, like, in, like, almost an altered state. It was really weird. Like, when I shut my eyes, like, I was still seeing, like, after images of stuff. And I was really tired. And I was about to vomit, but I didn't drink that much.
You stopped. So how far did you get?
Like, 3/4 of the way through.
So you drank 3/4 of a gallon.
Yeah, and it took the full hour. I mean, I slowed down a lot.
Hmm. All right. And first off, by the way, I've had these contests with just water drinking contests. This guy's always great because it's really a throw-up contest. Yeah. You will heave. Because here's the thing. Your capacity to drink water well or anything well exceeds the amount. I mean, you know, this. It's the same with booze. You know what I mean? Like, you go, you drink this many ounces of water, this many ounces of milk, or this many ounces of scotch, you're going to vomit, but your hand can keep moving indefinitely, and your mouth will stay open, too. Right. That's what I love about guys.
Yeah,
but it's always funny when your buddy's heaving.
And, of course, there are lots of examples of women having these contests.
No, never happened.
Not in the history of mankind. No,
but what about it, Drew? And it's funny because I just heard about this the other day. Somebody was talking about your body's inability to process dairy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Drew looks confused here. I hadn't heard much about it either. Something about lactose or something like that. Mm-hmm. Is it just that? Let me say this.
If
you drink a gallon of water in an hour.
Right.
And you didn't just get done playing racquetball. It's possible to heave that up.
Well, what happens is more serious.
It's food. I don't think people look at a glass of whole milk as what it is, which is a bunch of calories and fat and a whole bunch of other stuff, right? I mean, that's a lot of food to take
Absolutely. It's protein and sugar and all kinds of stuff. But the water can lower your serum sodium and can cause seizures and encephalitis.
Oh, that's even funnier than vomiting.
Yeah, but they're really serious problems.
But it's still funny.
There was a hazing thing recently where parents are suing because this kid had to drink water in some sort of hazing procedure.
Mm-hmm.
But he was on medicine that caused him to hang on to disproportionate amounts of water, so his sodium went way down.
Well,
and he got real sick. He got bad seizures.
Let's not be uptight about it. Stuff happens. There's no doubt about it. That couldn't be avoided.
Lactose, if it's not metabolized, just comes out as diarrhea.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes out.
So why? So
I don't know why.
Is it? Okay. So here's what I'm saying. People think it has something to do with it being a dairy product, but what you're saying is really what I said first, is it's more like you're just drinking a gallon of food,
right?
And your body cannot take, you know, water doesn't have any calories. I mean, it's supposed to be a huge difference calorically, obviously, between a gallon of water and a gallon of milk.
Water's zero.
Right. Yeah. So even if milk is one,
it's a huge difference.
It's 100%.
Anyway, but I don't know what the altered state stuff is. I wonder, again, if that's more of a fluid issue that he's getting.
Yeah.
Sodium changes or something.
Yeah, maybe it's it brings him back. Maybe all mammals have
something
this.
It's called milk alkali syndrome. Where
you know, a gallon of anything is a whole lot more than it seems like it's going to be.
Yeah,
I was really surprised.
I'm down with that.
There are syndromes of people taking antacids and drinking a lot of milk and getting strange fluid and electrolyte abnormalities.
Gotta try that again.
Yeah, I tried to eat a bunch of loaves, like a couple pieces of homemade bread before that, hoping it would soak it up, but it didn't work.
No, what soak it up?
You think you can look? Lay people think you can soak up alcohol. Think you can soak stuff up.
The bread is immediately converted, broken down into sugars. Also, within minutes.
What about
put bread in a glass of water? Watch it fall apart. Then you add the enzyme from the stomach and the duodenum.
The duodenum. Well, naturally. But what about like when you go out drinking and you want to have a full stomach? Anything there?
Nothing. It may change the rate of absorption of alcohol by changing how much alcohol is exposed to the lining of the stomach where it's absorbed.
Right.
It's in a higher volume.
Slows it
down.
So
it's more dilute, so it slows the absorption down a little bit, but nothing much.
All right. Well, you know the ultimate hangover tip, Drew?
Aspirin and orange juice?
No.
Oh, don't drink.
Don't drink.
Oh, you're
Hold
a
on.
Genius.
Let me grab my sketch pad. Let me grab my pad, you retards. I love those tips. They always do that New Year's. And, of course, the ultimate, the only sure way not, and of course, the only sure way not to get a hangover, take it easy. Don't drink too much. Oh, okay, you idiot. Really? Don't do whatever it is you're going to cure? Hey, I got a cure for cancer, Drew. You know what that cure is? Don't get it.
How about pregnancy?
I got a cure.
Pregnancy.
Don't get pregnant.
Don't have sex.
That's the only... You know what the best birth control is, Drew? Why no? No, not condom. No, not birth control. You know what the only sure way?
No. Huh? What? Huh?
Abstinence.
Oh! No.
Yeah. Don't
Genius.
Do it. Don't do it. Genius. Genius, right? And anything. Name a thing. Diabetes? You know a sure way? Yeah. Sure way not to... Don't get it.
Hypertension?
Don't get it.
Heart disease?
Don't get it.
Oh, my God.
Right? Are you writing this down? Retards with your lame-ass tips. And I always listen, too, every time. Every time New Year's rolls around. Oh, here's some surefire tips not to get a hangover this year, all right? Don't drink. All right. Well, that's not an option. That is not an option. The other one was, like I said, drink half your weight in ounces of water before you go out. Those are things like so.
I'm so you don't drink.
200-pound guy drink 100 ounces of water before I head out, and then drink a nice big glass of water in between every. Okay, this is nonsense now. Yeah. All right, we're gonna take a little. I'm talking. I want to tip like break a number two pencil off in your ass or something. Something I can do. Something that's not gonna affect my drinking. I'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's a love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Macy Gray in here tomorrow night. Looking good. All right. Let's help the kiddies. What do you say, Drew?
Let's do.
Wendy.
Hi.
You're 19?
Yes.
Your boyfriend has porn.
No.
I know that's normal, but mm-hmm. is it normal?
Yes.
I mean, mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. How old is your boyfriend?
He's 24.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 24, 19. All right.
That's all right.
That's all right. Were you ever abused? Your dad break your heart or skip out on
no,
you?
No.
My dad's an asshole, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's not get into that. It's not. That's not all what right. I'm calling.
I know, but that's ultimately why
it's pertinent.
That's everything.
Yeah, it's pertinent because
everything for you.
Those
no.
you'll be you'll be yeah. attracted to guys that sort of. Are like your dad. Not necessarily.
Yeah.
No.
Well, not only are you going to be attracted to a-holes, but everything is going to be an issue with guys.
Yeah.
If a guy treats you too good, eventually you'll screw that up.
Right.
If a guy's got porn, you'll dig into that.
Yeah.
Everything is going to be born of your a-hole dad.
You're going to be expecting what you got from dad from men.
All right, so here's your thing. I don't know if you're trying to sabotage this thing. Do you like this guy? Does he treat you right?
Oh, he's wonderful. He's
don't
I'm
sabotage.
I'm getting worried, you know, because I want to. I've always thought we had a great sex life.
You do.
We do absolutely. Yeah. It just I don't know. It's like gross porn. It's not just like
what kind of porn? By the way, first off, how dare you? No porn is gross. Same thing. A child is gross. No, they're all beautiful. They may come in different shapes and different colors, but they're all beautiful.
What kind of porn are we talking about here?
It's like a lot of like cum shots and like
mm-hmm. You're not talking about movies. You're talking about movies or talking about pictures?
No, I just looked at the cover and it's just like all
of the magazine or the movies?
It's a movie. It's a movie. It's not a magazine. It's actually
yeah, but the cover of it.
Right. How long is it going to take that to get the movie magazine differential out from you, by the way? Is it a movie or is it a magazine? I look at the covers.
But she's looking at the box of a movie.
Right.
And assuming that that's an exact representation of what's in there.
Well, yeah. It's not going to be an animated Disney film in there if you're seeing a chick covered with goo. But they do get a little. They do. They're all a little bit crazy. I mean, it's like look at it this way. You see a movie. You see an action movie poster.
Right.
There's scenes in the movie that aren't even in the movie that are on the poster.
Right.
You look at a James Bond poster.
That's right.
He'll be hanging off a helicopter, getting oral from a chick and firing his pistol, AK-47 at a madman in a dirigible. Yeah. And then you see the movie, you're like, where's that scene?
Right.
I didn't see that scene.
That's right. They just get you to buy the movie.
Yeah, they believe me. I've been angered many times about something, a movie not being as disgusting as what was on the thing. But what's my recourse? Some Ralph Nader I report my outrage called Judd McElvain. Oh, this is an outrage. And by the way, it's those covers that make it even more humiliating to rent. You know what I mean? You're moving up to the counter with Ubangus Uranus 14, and the picture's basically the woman looks like the Michelin man. She's just so covered with semen, you know, and you're standing there, and there's a guy standing behind you with his girlfriend. They got the Joy Luck Club, and then there's a guy in front of you that's got a Disney film, and you're just standing there with that obnoxious-looking thing, trying to keep it against your hips sort of strategically, but there's no good side to those things. They're all a mess.
So, see, Wendy could be worse. Your boyfriend could be Adam.
And listen, here's all I want from the movie makers. Make one nasty side and one decent side so that you can casually put the nasty side against your hip. Not only is both sides nasty, but along the edge is nasty, too. I mean, you have to keister the thing to get it to the counter with some dignity. All right.
So I shouldn't be worried then. I mean, just relax.
You're looking.
Panties or anything like.
What, huh?
Nothing. Never mind.
You're looking to sabotage.
Don't start trouble.
Yeah, you're looking to find trouble here, so just be relaxed.
No, I'm not. I'm just insecure. That's all. I just wanted to give some good advice, you know?
This is fine.
Relax.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Go on. All right.
Yeah, have a good night.
Times.
Bye.
Yeah, you too.
Let's break.
My friend checked a gallon of milk in high school, says it's possible.
So there we go.
I know, we had a break. Hold on. How long did it take him to chug a gallon of milk?
It took him a little under 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
No.
No, I swear we have it on video. It was
a gallon of milk.
Boy.
Yeah. A little under 2 minutes without heaving.
Yeah, it was like.
Then he heaved.
No. He didn't heave at all.
I'm going to have to cut it right here, guys. Sorry.
You're talking about a half gallon of milk. Rod Stewart had all that semen in his belly.
Of course.
Had to have it pumped.
Everyone knows that.
I will take a quick break. We'll be back. Well, that's the show. Before we check out, we want to say goodbye to Tara. Don't call me Tara, goddammit. Who we've had a tumultuous relationship with over the years.
Illustrious.
But illustrious, and I think their love has really grown over the last few months especially. We'll be sorry to see her go, but glad that she's doing whatever it is she wants to do and wish her all the best. And Tara, you stop by anytime you like,
absolutely,
please. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Let's know what the S and the M stand for.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Sadism and masochism.
Huh?
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.